And now let's roll into some of the Thanksgiving meal, well, the line outside the Thanksgiving meal at the Veterans Hall. It's sort of an annual event where folks who are poor and hungry or just want a good meal gather, and I tend to show up there with a bunch of street spirits and a flyer and distribute it. The flyer I distributed, I'll read it to you as I passed it out at length. It's still being passed out at Food Not Bombs tables on the weekends. You can catch it later today, Sunday, between 4 and 6 down at the main post office. And this is what you'll be reading. Defend campsites and folks in cars. Save lives this winter. Shrunken shelter, fenced parks, and closed camps mean homeless must shelter themselves. Share contact information to support and get support from others outside for protection and solidarity. Publicize, confront, and resist illegal harassment and citation, video and audio move-along bullying. Donate survival gear to those shivering in the Pacific Avenue war zone and elsewhere in Santa Cruz. Demand cops and rangers follow the law, the Boise no tickets for necessary survival behavior decision. Establish a regrouping site where you will go when police disperse your campsite. Join the statewide Union of the Homeless with chapters in Marysville and Salinas to fight back. Share needs, news, and views to find common ground, scout out vacant buildings, and build trust. Huff meets Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sub Rosa Cafe, next to the Bike Church, 703 Pacific. Information, 423-4833. Consider a three-night sleep out at the post office on November 29th when the River Street campground closes for good. And that's the little flyer that I was giving out on Thursday, continue to give out, and solicit your input on. Give me a call at 423-4833 if you like what you hear or if you don't. Let's see what you think should be going on. My main focus has been that in spite of all the blither blather about winter shelter or lack of winter shelter, what we got, of course, is lack of winter shelter and the hoax and pretext of winter shelter, is that people shelter themselves and they need to be allowed to do so and they need to be assisted in doing so. And that's really the issue. And people aren't going to be helped by the benevolent authorities. They're going to have to face the hostility of the Take Back Santa Cruz types. And what they need to do is find some way to engage in some kind of solidarity, even in the midst of meth thefts, there we go, and the problems that homeless-on-homeless property seizures back and forth, people stealing from each other, creates a constant, you know, patter of distrust. Anyway, here's some of the conversations that happened at the noon meal line that happened on Thanksgiving Day, or National Indigenous Slaughter Day, or Gobble Gobble Your Turkey Day, what you will.
So a quick report.
Yeah, yesterday.
So we're talking with.
Oh, between Blaine Street and Ocean Street, there must have been 16 police cars, and nobody would tell us why. And they were there for hours.
This is where you live? Or?
Yeah, it's like on that street.
Now, what time of day was it?
Oh, right when, probably like 4, 4.30 till about 6.30.
And you asked them and they said, we can't tell you what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, after all, I mean, you don't really pay their salaries. They do it out of the goodness of their hearts, right?
Well, we wanted to know, it's me and an elderly lady downstairs. We want to know if we were in any kind of danger.
Well, perhaps Officer Hernandez could have given you some update. Or was it? Oh, yeah.
And that's an in-joke with this woman whose name is Babushka. She and her husband, Tim, 4 years before, along with their daughter, Jasmine, and her boyfriend, or her husband, I'm not sure which it was, we're at the Salvation Army Thanksgiving meal the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. I think it was a Tuesday. And they tried to take a plate of food outside. Others were doing that. And they were accosted by Officer Hernandez in uniform, apparently, who then pulled his gun when they tried to ignore the officers, "You can't take your food out," and actually drew the gun and held it on them, threatening them, and apparently laughing as he did. He didn't receive any kind of punishment or disciplinary consequence that I'm aware of. And you can later, well, you'll later hear another officer who also engaged in some rather egregious and publicly visible, in fact, video visible behavior. Officer Vasquez, around the same time, I don't know if it was that year or the next, dropped Richard Hardy in handcuffs, face down onto the sidewalk. Or as his compatriot Alan, who was with him when the two of them were picked up at midnight as drunks, and they admitted that they were drunk on Pacific Avenue, with Brent Adams filming the whole thing. Adam claims that, or Alan claims he was, Vasquez smashed Hardy down on the sidewalk face first. I think in the response, because Hardy kicked Vasquez's tire. I, of course, saw none of it, and that I don't think that part is not on the video, just him being dropped to the ground. You can still find it. The Sentinel actually got the video from Brent Adams and played it. Anyway, this other thing with Hernandez is another example of concerns I've had in the past which have not been addressed, and I brought some of these up to Andy Mills, not these two particular concerns, although I've referenced them to him to give him some idea of the kinds of things that his predecessor, Chief Vogel, chose to ignore or cover up or defend. I don't think he actually said much about these two incidents. Anyway, here's some more from Babushka. You can actually hear the interviews during the 2013 Thanksgiving season if you go back to that particular audio. And I have audio records you can find all posted on the Huff website, huffsantacruz.org. And just look for the name of the show, Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides. Look for, you'll probably find it under, let me see here. Yeah, it's the Thursday, November 28th, 2013 show. And you can go back and find that under Latest Shows, or you can find it under Descriptions, both under the Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides section of the Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website, huffsantacruz.org. And you can hear some pretty kind of alarming testimony from the people who witnessed this. Hence our little joke about Hernandez. she kind of, it's kind of a, you give a grim laugh on that one. Anyway, this isn't about that, but it gives me an opportunity to rake over the old coals, which I did.
Oh. And we've been talking with?
Babushka.
Again. Thank you, Babushka.
I think everything.
Ambulances, too.
Ambulances, too. Yeah, ambulances. They had guys in, well, I guess they must have been lawyers or something, but they were walking in their suits with their little attaché cases.
Ambulance chasers, so to speak.
There's something bad.
So it's about 12:15 out here at the Veterans Hall line into the Thanksgiving meal on the 22nd of November, talking with
L.A.
and her dog,
Suggs.
And you've got your dog, but you haven't got your car in any working condition.
No, it's completely totaled. And not only that, but my camp also was burned down by the arsonist, which was everything in it.
Where was your camp?
Out on Highway 9.
And were you the only one who lost stuff, or was it just you?
Basically, yeah. I was the only one.
And when did this happen?
2 weeks ago.
And what have you done since to survive, if you wish to say?
Just barely surviving. I mean, somebody gave us a tent that was, it's really too small for us, but we kept dry at least. But I have no clothes, I have nothing, because I got my disability. And I put everything into this car to get it legal. And the city of Santa Cruz was going to give me amnesty and let me get my driver's license. And that's all I needed. Didn't have insurance on it yet, because I was fixing to get insurance. And they stole it, and it's not. I have a lot of money wasted, you know? And I'm trying to get back up on my feet, and it just makes it impossible. because every time I get somewhere, it just gets taken away from me, you know? So I don't know exactly where to go from here, except for maybe it's not, maybe I need to do something about this, like stand up for the rest of us, you know, as a group, and start fighting.
Well, as there some of us doing, but of course I'm in a room, so I don't have to worry about, you know, people accosting me at night. I'm not an attractive woman. I'm a grubby old guy. So, you know, it's
well,
a little
thank God that we were, that I happened to wake up because I fell asleep, and I was asleep all day long. And I'm the only one up there on the mountain. And it was safe for us, you know. So that's the way I looked at it. And I woke up right after dark and was starving, so I came on into town with my dog, and that's when somebody set the fire.
How do you know it was an arsonist and not just some other shit?
Out there, I was out there filming the whole thing while it was happening because they wouldn't let me up there. And I told the fire department that it was my camp that was up there because they were going up my trail to fight the fire back. Honestly, I didn't think that it caught my camp, but it did. I haven't been back up there since. But I got a lot of footage of it, you know. And just the guys were out there, the two guys that did it. And they had been following. They came out behind me twice. And I guess they were just hanging out watching.
How do you know they did it?
Because they were caught on camera.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And on your camera or someone else's?
No, on somebody else's, on job cameras.
What was caught? What image was caught?
The image of both their faces, I guess. So
you were told this, rather.
The guy is very distinctive because he's got a birthmark or something on his eye. Looks like gunshot powder or something. And it's really bad.
Did you actually see the video yourself?
No, I saw it on the news. So
you heard about it?
Yeah, on the news. Yeah, and the guy's picture was on the news. So, and he was caught on camera. He's responsible for 25 other fires in Santa Cruz. So,
and do you want to say who you are? You don't have to.
I'm Miss LA. Everybody knows me.
Hey.
I've been homeless for 10 years in Santa Cruz. And it's the first time I've ever been homeless in my life, but I'm also disabled permanently. I'm paralyzed from the ribcage down on the right side because of the hospital. So my appendix...
Which hospital?
Dominican. Yeah, they saved my life, but in turn, I'm paralyzed. So I can still walk because my muscles work, my bones work. I just can't feel anything because they messed up my femoral nerve. They made my femoral nerve collapse on my right side, so... But I get my disability now. But I think that it should have went a lot further. Because, you know, they really did mess up, you know. They gave me a fungus on my heart. This was after I was admitted to the hospital. I contracted a fungus on my heart. You know, of course, my heart's all right now. But, you know, I still suffer from it. So, thank you.
Here you are at the Thanksgiving meal with your pooch.
Yeah, my people that I love. There's a lot of friends here. So,
did you get much support from others in the middle of this disaster? And if so, did it mostly people outside mostly or people inside?
Hundreds of friends that are homeless, and everybody helped me.
Was it mostly homeless people helped you, or mostly housed people?
It was mostly homeless. All my friends are homeless, you know, and it's really hard on us because anytime we get anything positive in our life, it's ripped away with the quickness, you know. It's just not fair. It's hard for us to go and stay positive, you know. Some of us are so bad they can't even get up off the ground, you know. I mean, mentally, you know. And the mental is just as important as the physical. If you can't take care of a person's mental, then, you know, how do you expect them to go and take care of themselves?
Well, you're invited to check out the Huff meeting. You've heard of Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. It's a somewhat dysfunctional organization that I'm a part of.
Yeah.
It meets every Wednesday.
Yes,
yeah, thank you.
It's
and
good to see you again.
And you too.
Yeah, I hope to see you some more.
All right. Well, do what you can. Yeah. And it sounds like you are.
I am. Yeah.
Hey, Kim.
Once I get adjusted to the pain, it's all right. I better get back up here with my friend.
Stay in line. All right, babe. And we've been talking with, one more time,
Miss LA.
Thank you, babe. Come a little closer if you're up for it. Can you come a little closer? Thanks, man.
Yeah.
So we're talking with
Alan Slumbrett.
And Alan, you were with Richard 4 or 5 years ago when he was dropped to the sidewalk face first. Describe what happened in your own words.
It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. We were sitting on a bench downtown, had a bottle of vodka. We were just talking, and the cops and the ambulances rolled up, and Officer Vasquez said, I forgot what Vasquez said, but I went into the ambulance first, and I didn't realize what happened after that. I tried to help Richard up off the bench. We were drunk. We weren't causing no problems. 1 o'clock in the morning, there wasn't nobody around. And,
ma'am?
Till this day, I can't figure out why that Vasquez guy still has his job.
That's Officer Vasquez to you, sir.
Negative. He's not an officer. He's a jerk. He's a prick. Richard Hardy was handcuffed. Richard Hardy kicked the tire because he doesn't like getting arrested for nothing. Officer Vasquez proceeded to take him with the handcuffs and slam him on the sidewalk.
And this is what you saw, what you heard later.
This is what I saw.
Where were you when you saw this?
Back of an ambulance at the time.
And were you standing, sitting? Do you remember what you were doing?
I was laying down in the back of the ambulance.
And
another ambulance showed up for Richard. Officer Vasquez took the handcuffs off. Brent Adams said, "How does that feel?" And the officer goes, "I hope he's okay."
Charming.
Hey, Admiral, never ready. How you doing? How you going?
All right, now. Neil?
Head above water? Mine? Barely.
We're not allowing backpacks in the building.
Anything you want to add to this? Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I'd really love to speak with Chief Mills and get to know what's really going on in this town.
Well, you may know more than they do, but I got to tell you, you know.
Well, I moved here when I was 3. I'm 44, so.
You've been around.
41 years, Santa Cruz High.
Take it.
The lady just hanging out.
What? So, we've been talking with
Alan Slumbrett.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it.
Wait, keep recording.
And keep dry and keep warm as well.
When I was 13 years old, my stepdad started with the sheriff's department. He's a coroner office.
No bags are allowed inside, just so you know. So, you'd like
to end the story.
Or not get fed.
Over and out.
Great.
Nobody came out and did a proper fucking announcement.
So a guy's walking out with his backpacks. He can't use them. Thank you, Alan. So there is a sort of a roped-off area where Dreamcatcher is sitting with playing a guitar, and there are a couple of people where there are a bunch of bags stacked. Whether that's a secure area, I am not too clear, but that's what they're apparently doing. Apparently, this is a new policy. I think in the past, your bags could come right with you. There's this new notion of people aren't to be trusted with their backpacks. I mean, that's pretty absurd.
Aaron Horseman.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Me and my wife were camped out on the beach. The chief of police came out and told us that we had to leave immediately. And despite the Boise court decision, he said that where we were supposed to go to was Depot Park. By the time that we had taken our stuff down and walked to Depot Park, the Parks and Recreations people were at Depot Park throwing stuff into a dumpster. And so it was a complete setup. They had cops there arresting people for camping, even in despite of the law. And so where they said to go was behind Ross, We went behind Ross, and there's human feces and dirty needles. If that is the only option, then that is not an option. Me and my wife are both disabled veterans, and we are here filing stuff for our pension. It is not acceptable if they are not willing to put the money in for us to be able to have a safe bed or a place where we don't have to worry about being robbed or raped. That is in defiance of the law. The chief of police himself told us where to go, and when we got there, the police were arresting people and throwing their gear away.
So he was a liar, in other words.
We got him on video.
Get in touch, because I'd like to see the video. Here's a card with my name on it.
Henry.
Joseph.
And they did it midday so that there would be people out there with cameras pointing and laughing at the homeless people. You know, like there was this group called Take Back Santa Cruz that were out there helping to gather people's stuff up. And people didn't get their stuff back. They were, like, out there just throwing shit away, taking people's backpacks and tents.
How do you know that the group was called Take Back
Santa Cruz? That said Take Back Santa Cruz.
How many of them were out there?
About 12.
And this was on the beach or at the...
On the beach, directly on the wharf.
Interesting. And what day was this?
5 days ago.
So this would be today. Is Thursday be on Sunday or Saturday?
The 17th. The 17th.
So that would be Friday.
Yeah, it was on Friday.
And about what time?
Midday. Like, I'd say about 2 in the afternoon.
And had you been on the beach for any length of time before that?
For 2 months we were there safe. Me and my wife's tent were on the cover of the Santa Cruz Sentinel. And the article was about the Boise, Idaho decision. In the picture, there's not one piece of trash. All of the people that were there were diligent about not allowing even a cigarette butt on the beach. Every day during the day, you would have like families with their kids enjoying the beach right next to their tents, because they didn't have to worry about needle junkies. They didn't have to worry about feces. They didn't have to worry about dog crap. They didn't have to worry about junk or being aggressive panhandled. Everybody left each other alone and minded their own business. Twice, we had people come down and dump bags of garbage around our tents with the intention to make us look bad. And we immediately gathered it up.
Did you notice who these people were?
Yes. They were wearing the Santa Cruz University. It was college kids. We had dudes from the college come down. They got caught on video. They were pulling orange caps off of needles and throwing them by the benches.
Really?
Yeah.
And
they dumped bags. We got them on video. They dumped bags of garbage around the tents to make us look bad.
You remember what days this happened, more or less?
This was on the 16th, right before the day before. And then on the... So, on Thursday, they come down and dump garbage around our tents and take the orange caps off of needles and throw them. We got them on video. On Friday, the chief of police comes down and tells everybody that we had to leave. He doesn't care where we go. And then when we brought up the court decision, he said, everybody needs to go to Depot Park. We go to Depot Park, and Parks and Recreation is there throwing away tents.
How many Parks and Recreations did you see?
About 8.
And on the beach, how many cops?
A batch of 4 rangers, groups of 2, and then the chief of police and one other officer walking around with them.
And how many Take Back Santa Cruz folks?
There was 12 of them.
And what about at the Parks and Rec Depot site?
At the Parks and Rec site, there was several squad cars that were there, and they were handcuffing and arresting people.
How many people did you see handcuffed and arrested?
At least 10.
And do you know what they were being charged with?
Probably petty crimes, drugs. You know, they weren't able to bust anybody for camping, so they brought a drug dog out.
What have you done for the last week?
Struggle to survive. Me and my wife are both disabled veterans. We are homeless because we were robbed at gunpoint in San Francisco, and we're down here filing our pension claims. We had to sleep under goddamn cardboard last night. Cardboard, because we have no gear anymore. We had to sleep under cardboard.
Now, this happened last Friday, so since then you've been under cardboard?
Yes.
Or
like trying hard not to freeze. Luckily, it's been warm, but...
It's not going to continue warm,
It's not going to continue warm. You know, they can't shut down the tent city and not have an acceptable place for people to go that are safe. At Depot Park, when they were rounding up everybody's gear and throwing it away, what they said was to go behind Ross. And we went and looked behind Ross, and there was human feces and dirty needles.
And about 20 or 30 tents. Or...
Yeah, and people that were actively going into each other's tents. Huh. And so it was a dangerous situation, and not what I would want my wife to be in any more than you would want your a loved one of yours to have to worry about.
So when you, tonight, what's your plan, if you wish to say it?
Well, we honestly don't know. We're not willing to go to any of the large encampments just for fear of getting. It's like we have to worry about cops or robbers. We're not criminals. We don't panhandle. We aren't doing anything other than filing our stuff for our pension and trying to survive. It is criminal. It is against our constitutional rights as an American citizen to not be allowed to fall asleep.
You got it. This flyer talks about defending people's, forming a network of each campsite defending each other, which sounds difficult in a situation where a lot of people are stealing from each other.
Yes.
Or many people are... If people shoot up, that's their business. But if they shoot up and then, as a consequence, they need to be engaged in theft, that, of course, becomes everyone's business.
Right. Also, proper disposal of sharps. Behind Ross, in just a couple of minutes that we were there looking for a place to be able to lay down, we found fucking piles of human shit, and we found needles that were with orange caps on them.
Where did you go after that, or is it a secret location?
No, I mean, it's no secret. We have no location. We don't know where to go next.
Where did you go for the last week?
The last week, we went and slept next to the river, woke up with rats walking by us. Then we went, and the day after that, we slept by the skate park and woke up to sprinklers, even though it was raining. It was like it got turned on purpose. We don't know where to go. We were told by the Veterans Association to come here to file our pension. That's why we're here, because they told us to. But then once here, the chief of police tells us to go somewhere else. We go there, and they're gathering up people's stuff, throwing it away, and arresting the people for being there. We asked the Parks and Recreation people, and they said that there are no parks other than the beach that we're allowed to be at. We asked the Santa Cruz Beach people, the people in blue that work out there, and they say that their superior just didn't want us under the wharf or with our tent connected to the wharf for fire reasons. And so we have had...
The sand might catch fire?
Well, the wharf itself, which makes sense. But if we're not under the wharf or connected to it, it's not a risk. We have gotten conflicting directions from all of the people, powers that be. And so far, we have not had one piece of information or advice that would lead to us being able to fall asleep at night safe.
Well, I work with a group called HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which just mainly complains about this kind of thing without having much impact and tries to at least broadcast the truth about people's experiences, like you've just been describing to me, assuming you're being accurate. So we meet every Wednesday. It's on that card I've got for you, the Sub Rosa.
A fellow named Greg that was out at the beach.
I call him Beach Greg.
Yeah. He's a good dude. He's the one that told us about the Sub Rosa cafe and the HUF project that you guys are doing. So we weren't able to find the cafe yesterday when this tree fell down and almost landed on a lady and we were standing out here.
Yeah.
And then we went over and there's saw marks on it where somebody had sawed away on it. So that it would fall. That's pretty concerning.
Weird.
That it seems kind of weird that they didn't just cut it down like yesterday when they were chopping down and grinding up all these other trees. But this one just had saw marks on it and then left there to fall on the people that were out here sleeping.
And you see them getting rid of other trees. Why?
The same day.
Protective cover or?
No. Just you know, fall.
Fire danger.
Yeah.
Maybe?
But it seems very strange that a large chunk of tree falls down right where the people were sleeping that they didn't want them sleeping at. And it
just
has...
Just a coincidence.
Very coincidental.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very nice. If you can, give me your phone number so I can get in touch with you.
I sure will. I'll tell you, but between me and my wife combined, we served 12 years in the service.
Hold it against you.
You know, I mean, we don't make the decisions. We just patch people up. We're both medical. You know, it's... A goddamn shame that we keep getting this level of care.
Callousness.
You being able to fall asleep is a human right. It is not a privilege. It is not like based on our FICA score or our income, whether or not we're allowed to sleep, or whether or not we're allowed to be in an area that we don't have to worry about being robbed and raped. That is not acceptable. If the city does not want to allocate the funds they need to stop pushing so hard against people.
You got it. Now the question is, what can we do about it? That's the issue. You want to give out some of these flyers?
Sure.
People that you know.
You got it.
People in line or whatever.
You got it.
You haven't had a chance to eat because they kicked you out because of the backpack, right?
Yeah. Well, one of the people that are over there watching the backpacks was hitting some kind of a pipe over here earlier. And I don't judge people on what they do, but I'm not going to leave. We're both disabled veterans, and I have all of our medicine in our bags. And we already had our gear get stolen twice since being in Santa Cruz in 2 months.
You want to leave it with us at the table with beer for half an hour, but no longer.
I appreciate you guys. Yeah. There was a good family that had came out here and gave some of these containers of food to people. Me and my wife got two of them, and I have her in there eating. I'm not going to starve today. I think that it's a good thing that they're out here feeding the people. They didn't do a very good job of organizing. They didn't tell anybody.
And they don't give a shit about people's possessions, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we barely have anything. We always have to worry about people stealing from us or it getting confiscated or being thrown away. We already have nowhere to go, and we already have almost nothing to do. You're going to take, the last bits of what we have, too.
I just want to make sure you leave town, mister.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be real hard to leave town without shoes. You know, I mean,
you can do it. You're tough. You choose to be outside, don't you?
Yeah, it was sure a choice. Yeah, yeah. We chose to enlist. That was the one choice we made.
And here you
are.
It
was our choice.
And we have been talking with.
But this is Aaron Horseman, me and Ashley Madsen.
Anything else you want to add?
Thank you, Santa Cruz.
Thank you.
Most of my evenings I spend on my own, listening to Spanish guitars. Next year I say, Barcelona for me, late nights in dark Spanish bars. Sipping my whiskey, having one more, smoking my black cigarettes. Asking Dolores to come home with me, knowing I'll have no regrets. And if it's not true, what harm can it do? I know what I know. I go where I go, and if it's not true, and if it's not true, what harm can it do? What harm can it do? I know what I know. I know what I know. I go where I go. Sometimes on Sundays I stroll through the park, down by the carousel, hearing the children ride round in delight to a tune by my old friend Ravel. One that he sang for me one rainy night as I walked with him down by the Seine. How I love Paris, the music, the fun. I go there again and again. And if it's not true, what harm can it do? I know what I know. I go where I go. Up at the Met, I visit whenever I can. Is bonjour, de Vincent, bravo, d'Henri. But the one that I love is Cezanne. And over his shoulder, I silently watch as the small canvas bursts into flames. We stop at the inn on the way back to town, where the old men drink wine with their games. And if it's not true, what harm can it do? I know what I know. I go where I go. And if it's not true, what harm can it do? I know what I know.
And that's yet another one by Tom Paxton from the uninaugural 2018. Check it out on YouTube if you want to see Tom and his three accompanists, one on a bass viol, another guitarist, and then a woman on a harmonica, singing along and strumming along.
Working with
Jonathan Sidnor.
And Jonathan, you are munching a plate out here. But you walked with your pooch. Where is your pooch anyway?
Right behind you. His name is Buster. He has on a green jacket with some like feathery type warm Russian type jacket. It's a, you know, it's kind of killing it. You know.
What kind of a pooch is he?
He's a Chihuahua Dachshund.
And I see that he's not on a leash. Now, what does this mean?
No, he's a service animal. He's never been the type of animal to be on a leash. He's very well controlled, you know. If I try to put him on a leash, he'll just sit there and be like, you put the leash on.
I see.
So it doesn't really work out too well.
He demands personhood?
Yes, yes.
Well, what kind of a... That's an uppity thing to do.
Yeah, he's like a person. He's like a human.
Oh.
He doesn't play those games.
We don't allow that kind of thing around here.
Hey,
this is Santa Cruz.
I know, man, but, you know, we came from San Francisco, man, where animals are free, man. They can do whatever they want as long as they are, you know, properly trained.
Yeah, and have enough money? Is that also in a criteria?
No. I don't have enough money. Okay. Thank you so much, my lady.
Piece of pie and chocolate cake being delivered.
I got a piece of pie and chocolate cake being delivered to me. Thank God for the grace of God.
Even
and what is your
you
name?
I'm Nancy. I'm a dog person.
Thank Nancy. Thank Nancy. I love you, Nancy. I really do. Thank you.
You didn't see that, did you?
No. So, as we were saying?
So, you were saying, I was concerned that I heard when you were told by one of the staff that other people with dogs are getting in, but you weren't. And I happened to notice the color of your skin.
Oh, that could be it. It could be the color of my skin, or it could be that I'm intimidating, you know? I'm 6 foot.
You're too damn tall, man.
I'm too damn tall and too damn handsome, you know? They didn't want me to get in there and start taking all the ladies before they could eat.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I see. So you
could be an issue.
And also, just your being there is a form of sexual molestation.
I don't know about that. But
we've got our eye on you, buddy. We don't like to call it profiling, but you know how it is.
I don't know about that, but I know that I could pull the ladies by giving them the googly eye. And, you know, sometimes guys, too,
I'll have to
you know.
I'll have to stay close
really
to you to observe this phenomenon.
Yeah, observe and report, man. Sometimes you got to do that, man.
Long time in Santa Cruz?
5 months.
Outside or inside?
I just got out of the police station 5 months ago, and now I reside in Santa Cruz.
And how was the police station in the jail?
It was very racist.
Tell me about it.
Well, I'm a very open-minded person. I love everyone. And when you get inside the police station, they have politics. And if you don't follow the politics, you get beat up.
Is this what happened to you?
No. I went by myself and did my own thing. And if anyone wanted to beat me up, then I told them to bring it.
Because
I got everybody's back.
So this was in jail.
Yeah.
And you were held there for what charge?
I was held there for...
If you wish to say.
I don't really want to say, but I was there for I was there for 30 days. And, yeah, it was 5 months? It was a false accusation. No, I was there for 30 days, but I've been in Santa Cruz for 5 months.
Oh, and what have you been done since you got out of jail?
I've never been to Santa Cruz. And whenever I got out of jail and I went, you know, downtown and started interacting with the people, I was like, do I want to go back to San Francisco or do I want to stay here?
And what was your answer?
I stayed here. I'm here.
And how long have you been out?
I've been out of jail for 5 months now.
And how has it been? Are you inside or outside buildings?
I'm outside.
And how is that treating you?
It's not horrible, but it's not ideal. I want to be indoors and take care of myself and have my dog warm just like everyone else, but... You know, it takes a little bit of time. I feel like if you try hard enough to get what you want, then you'll get it. And if you don't, then you'll just be outside.
Camp in company or alone?
It depends on the day. It depends on if I run into someone kind that I trust, that I'm, you know, that I feel comfortable with, then yeah, I'll camp with them or have. But I'm not really into drugs. I'm not into, like, you know, a lot. There's a lot of drugs and meth and heroin and stuff out here, and I'm not into that stuff. So if I'm gonna camp with someone, I want to be with someone who's like, you know, maybe smokes weed or does a little bit of drinking, but isn't like fiending for drugs and like on some hard drugs to where they'll steal from me at late night if I wake up and my bag's gone. Or
have you had that experience here?
I haven't personally, because like I said, I like everybody. I like to get along with everyone, and I like to talk to people, and I like to like ask questions about people and see where they're coming from. And when you're open like that and you have a kind heart like that, most people genuinely, they mess with you. They like, they're not mess with you in a bad way, but they like, excuse my language, but they fucks with you. They're cool with you. They're like, if I asked you, like, hey, how's your day going? How are you? How's your mother? How's Thanksgiving? Like, I ask you a little bit about yourself, and I genuinely care, and I look in your eyes, and you can feel that from me. Most likely, you won't do me dirty. But if it's just like everyone's chasing the same drug and doing the same thing, they don't really care. They'll just do you dirty, just like they'll do the next person. But if you can feel a genuine kind heart, and you can feel a genuine realness in someone, most of the chances are that you'll be there for them, and you'll have their back, and maybe you'll give me a piece of pie if I don't get to go in, you know. But some people are just chasing their addiction, and they just don't care about other people. And you know, I don't hate those people at all, because I know that they're going through it. But I'll just stay away from them, because I know what they're about.
Is there more you'd like to say?
Negative. Oh, happy Thanksgiving. I love everybody. If I've ever had a bad day and ever gave anyone a hard time, I apologize. It's just being on the streets ain't easy. And if anyone's been on the streets, you know that. So, you know, I'm Jonathan Sidnor, the guy with the dog Buster. If you ever see me on the streets, you want to give me a hug or some money, then say hi.
Panhandling again, eh, John?
All right, you guys. That was a good interview. I appreciate this guy for talking to me and getting to know a little bit about me. And hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving. And everyone take care of yourselves. Try to stay out of the street and be happy and be healthy.
Thank you, John.
Of course, brother. Thank you.
Your signature moment memory of me was
Free the Weed. So we were standing together on Pacific Avenue shortly after the 89 earthquake had decimated it, before the capitalists came to rebuild it. And you pulled out a joint and raised it to the sky and screamed at the top of your voice, "Free the weed!" And we were like, Robert, don't say that. Don't say that. We're going to get in trouble. And you said, "Don't worry about it, Youth Saver Yasawe. Nobody was going to actually believe that this is a joint. They'll just think it's a regular cigarette."
And we've been talking with
Meta Self.
Thank you, Meta Self. Also known as Yasawe, who I didn't even recognize.
And Youth Saver Yasawe was one of three people I was arrested with for leading a parade against an abusive police officer, a guy called Bob Hobo Hunter, as I called him, Hennig, who slammed Morpheus Mike Hobson face down onto a squad car in the spring of 1989. We marched to the police station, and we were then arrested for leading an unlawful assembly. Of course, the charges were just dismissed before court, but it was my first encounter with former Deputy Chief Steve Clark. You may remember him, some of you old-timers. He was a particularly nasty police officer who was, I think aptly characterized in the publication I used to write called The Street Shit Sheet, where you can actually find the back issues of The Street Shit Sheet online on the Huff website mentioned earlier, huffsantacruz.org. Anyway, a little sort of moments probably mean more to me than anybody else out there, but you get to forcibly have them dumped on you, and there they are. Let's take a musical break, and I will be back. And probably I'll be introducing the flashback, because I think that's where we're going now.
Thank you.
over the falls we go. Look out, good people below. Fasten your seatbelt and pull up your socks. The drop will be steep and there's bound to be rocks. The captain, to no one's surprise, is scarfing down burgers and fries. It's all hands on deck and look out below. It's over the falls we go. Things are a little bit crazy in here. No one knows just what to do. You start doing this, someone else says do that. A third guy comes by and says crap in your hat. We let the great almighty be. He's happy just watching TV. He's happy just watching the box and grabbing the girls by their arms. Over the falls we go. Look out, good people below. Fasten your seatbelts. Fasten your seatbelts and pull up your socks. The drop will be steep and there's bound to be rocks. The captain's to no one's surprise is scarfing down burgers and fries. It's all hands on deck and look out below. Over the falls we go. Nobody knows what to do anymore. Nobody here has a clue. We see him come in, we see him go out. We hear the boss scream and we hear the boss shout. We know things are never his fault. We bring him a chocolate malt. He's happy just watching that box and getting his ass pissed on Fox. So
over the falls we go.
Look out, good people below.
Fasten your seatbelts and pull up your socks. The drop will be steep and there's bound to be rocks.
The captain, to no one's surprise, is scarfing down Big Macs and fries. It's all hands on deck and look out below, as over the falls we go. It's all hands on deck and look out below, as over the falls we go.
Thank you.
And that was a song about Trump, apparently, according to the introduction that he gave. Paxton's earlier songs really struck me more than sort of the mellower, softer stuff he's been doing recently. But I played them before, so I kind of felt like I wanted to at least look for some new stuff. But there's some old stuff, and I'm going to just to remind us of one can come from a place with a sharp edge, and some of us don't forget it.
I got a letter from LBJ. It said, this is your lucky day. It's time to put your khaki trousers on. Though it may seem very queer, we've got no job to give you here, so we are sending you to Vietnam. Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation. I am trying everyone to please. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnamese. I jumped off the old troop ship and sank in mud up to my hips. I cussed until the captain called me down. Never mind how hard it's raining, think of all the ground we're gaining. Just don't take one step outside of town. Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation. I am trying everyone to please. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnamese. Every night the local gentry slip out past the sleeping sentry. They go out to join the old VC. In their nightly little dramas, they put on their black pajamas and come lobbing mortar shells at me. But Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation. I am trying everyone to please. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnamese. We'd go around in helicopters like a bunch of big grasshoppers searching for the Viet Cong in vain. They left the note that they had gone. They had to get down to Saigon, their government positions to maintain. And Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation. I am trying everyone to please. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnamese. Well, here I sit in this rice paddy, wondering about Big Daddy, and I know that Lyndon loves me so. Yet how sadly I remember way back yonder in November when he said I'd never have to go. But Lyndon Johnson told the nation, have no fear of escalation. I am trying everyone to please. Though it isn't really war, we're sending 50,000 more to help save Vietnam from Vietnamese.
And that was Lyndon Johnson told the nation. Of course, it's from the mid-60s and the good old days of LBJ and the Vietnam War. Now, of course, that's all behind us. We have Bush, Obama, Trump, and the Afghanistan, Iraqi, Middle Eastern wars.
Ron, you said 10 years ago you lived in the second of two RVs, and it was a fairly nice RV, $12,000,
yeah,
$10,000.
$12,000 for that RV. So it was really nice, and I couldn't afford to rent because rents are too high. And even though I was working, I was a substitute teacher, making, so that's an on-call type of position. And eventually it got worse and worse where they would knock on your door and hassle you and not even treat you nice. They would knock and say, we know you're in there, you can't be here. And I got a ticket for $100 that I really couldn't afford. So yeah, I'm really against, people that need a place. They need to be inside. I don't care what they're.
You're outside or inside now?
Oh, I'm inside now. I'm up in Felton.
Yeah, please. Yeah, as much as I can.
So it's lucky, but it doesn't mean that couldn't be the case again someday as I get older, even because I'm older now.
Yeah.
And I retired.
And the rents are rising.
They're rising. My retirement is quite small. So it's not much. And yeah, I've always been, nobody should be out in the street. It shouldn't be happening.
Well, I'll give you my card just in case you come up with some new experiences or you decide you want to join any of these protests that may be coming up.
Yeah, thanks, Ron.
And we've been talking with
Ron.
Hey.
Thanks, Ron.
Mister.
So we're talking with.
Why the 29th, though?
The reason for the 29th on that flyer I'm giving out is that that's when the last person was supposed to be evicted from the campground, the River Street campground.
Okay, that makes sense. That's a great idea. I like the 3 day. I did a 2 night, and then you guys had the Funat Bombs truck one of those nights, and I was sleeping right over there.
Yeah?
And it was cool.
How was it? You were sleeping out that there last Thursday?
Oh, yeah, and it was cold. I had my sleeping bag. But
nobody provided any sort of blankets or anything?
No, I had my own sleeping bag. And then, yeah, then we had soup. They came and got soup, and it was really good. And we
just got good soup.
We protested right there where they do food, not bombs.
Yeah?
It was cool.
You guys raging?
I missed it.
I know, I did.
Yeah, it was special.
I fell asleep in front of the bank and somebody stole my medication that day. And my library books, but I got the library books back yesterday.
But not the medication?
No, not the medication. I do. I actually have my second one. Sometimes.
Sometimes it's a keyword.
So you think you might come to a 2 day sleeper?
No, yeah, I'm excited for the 3 day. So I'm like, okay, I can do 3 day then. I did 2, I can do 3.
What about this? Are you guys in campsites?
Sort of.
Right in the middle of the sidewalk and block.
Yeah, no, I am.
And is it a lot of people, a few people?
Last night there was me and another person. But usually it's just myself, typically. I don't keep anything there at the campsite, though. And very, very, very little.
Maybe
like
over there.
A blanket that I don't need and a wok.
Yeah.
And an extra pair of shoes.
How long have you been outside?
Since I lived here, now 3 months.
And from Santa Cruz, from elsewhere?
No. I was outside very minuscule in Nevada City. And it was summertime, so it was nice. But there, total, probably 5 months. 5 months.
5 months? And before that, where were you?
Home.
Hey, what happened when...
Home here or home else?
Auburn, California. Home.
Auburn? Yeah.
And what persuaded you to come to beautiful Santa Cruz?
The ocean.
You like the ocean?
I love the ocean, yeah. The beach is my favorite place. I spent a lot of time in California my whole life, but never nearly enough by the beach. So,
bye.
Dig it.
We've been talking with, if you wish to say...
Dalton.
Thank you, Dalton.
I don't know if anyone...
Outside camper man, how you doing, sir?
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
So you were outside, what, last night?
Last night.
How'd that go?
I felt comfortable because I stayed awake all night.
You stayed awake all night?
Yeah.
Now, did you want to stay awake all night, or do you feel like you had to stay awake all night?
I had to stay awake all night. I'm not aware of my surroundings. It's my first night here.
Oh, yeah.
In downtown.
You're keeping your both eyes open. So.
Yeah. The only thing keeping me awake is the clock tower. I would make sure it was 15 before the hour, so that way I could get in like 15 minutes of sleep, and then the clock would
wake you up.
Wake me up.
Take it. And where are you from?
I am from Monterey County.
I don't. Sorry.
Smoke-free downtown Santa Cruz. I am from Monterey County.
And how are things there?
Well, there's not much opportunity for a young teen, even for a young adult. The opportunities lessen as we get older. That's why I moved out here. I saw there was more support in the city of Santa Cruz, even more than in Watsonville. And that's
what kind of support have you found? Of course, it's Thanksgiving, and not much is open.
We got clothing, shoes, Thanksgiving. people giving thanks to the community by offering tents and sleeping bags.
Were you offered anything yourself?
I was offered a backpack and warm socks and warm gloves and a hat.
And how is that? How did that get offered to you?
I had to go to the
Red Church,
Loudon Nelson
Center,
on Wednesday at 3, and it went. Well, it was good.
Was there a meal as well? Or?
There was a meal included. I stayed there until...
Well, once a year you can do that on Thanksgiving. So all you got to do is wait another 365 days.
And things will turn out right. And I plan to get fatten up this day.
Yeah, so you can sleep for the rest of the winter. Yeah.
Winter, until March.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
Or a polar bear, or some kind of a bear.
Some kind of bear.
A black bear. And you want to keep this anonymous, or do you want to say your first name?
I want to be anonymous.
Then we will call you Anonymous.
Anonymous P.
Anonymous P. You take care of me. So we're talking with a woman who survived the Salvation Army and then came back. This was, wasn't that, was it Hernandez or somebody like that?
I can't remember the name of that.
Right.
I was with her. I saw that cop do that. I was standing with her when that happened. And I can't remember if his name was Hernandez, maybe?
It might have been. Something.
And this is actually a little out of order. This is Tim and Babushko. I mentioned earlier the couple that were in the Salvation Army in 2013 when Officer Hernandez drew his weapon on Jasmine, the daughter, and Jasmine's spouse. Here's a little chatter about that and about more current events.
like Hernandez.
It might have been Hernandez. This happened in 2013, as I remember.
Yeah, it was. I was
Salvation Army. They drew a gun on
5 years ago, and initially they put it to her head for a second,
Jasmine got a gun drawn to her head because she was walking out with some food.
He wasn't there.
And then he marched to her. He had the gun to her back and marched her out the front door.
He put
it
to the
there,
head.
But I heard the account.
I was right
as soon
there.
As we
I was
came
standing
out,
right next
said, "Call Robert Norris. Call Robert Norris." So we called Robert Norris.
I'm not sure we did. We tried to get a complaint. I think you guys complained to the police.
Well, you and me
later.
To no avail, right?
No avail.
To no avail.
2 days
all
later, he was on TV receiving an award.
Of course. He did such a great job.
For helping young kids.
Stopping that food from going outside the Salvation Army.
There were people taking it out this time, too.
The thing was, there were other people taking the food out, and they were letting them go, but they focused on her and then make a big scene out of it.
Yeah, I'm pushing him in.
You know, so.
Complete bullshit.
That was, I guess, 5 years ago.
Let me give you my card in case you want to get in touch for any other reasons.
Because I just happened to, we all went there together. I went there with her and her daughter, you know, so. Nothing with that.
How's Jasmine doing?
She's doing good.
She's still in town, or who knows?
She's,
here, there,
not
and everywhere.
Really sure
here,
where there. She is. I think she's in San Francisco, but right now.
I saw her about 6 months ago. She came through.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she came down. She
one
was doing really good
down.
Then, yeah.
Well, she plays music pretty well. I like the way she sings. And she stood up for herself, or tried to, and so did all of you. You know, it's just
that was like I had nightmares about that for a long time, and this is the first year I've gone back. And I went in like this, like, you know, I was looking for him. Yeah, I had like PTSD from that. I was right behind the guy, and he had the gun right to her head.
And the cop, while he was doing it, was looking at the workers of the Salvation Army who were his friends, and he was like, they were all laughing, and he was smirking at them like it was a big joke. He was like, smirking as he's marching her out the door with a gun to her back. He's got a smirking laugh on his face. And then the other girls
were
all giggling, you know.
They were flirting. I can't even believe I went back there, but I was kind of hungry.
It wasn't really ridiculous. Oh, no thanks.
He's doing hard work. Aren't you thirsty yet, Robert?
And we've been talking with
Babushka.
And with
Tim is my name.
Hey, you too. Still have the same number, Babushka? I got probably. Yeah, I mean, you got my number in case you want to reach.
I don't know. I got a couple different phones since then. So
with Jeremiah Maxey.
Jeremiah, you say unfortunate incident a few days ago.
Yeah, I was camping in front of a Nourish just to get a canopy over us. And I didn't lock up my bike that night, and unfortunately someone came by and swooped it up and stole my bike.
We chased him off.
But he got away.
Did he jump on your bike and ride it?
Yeah, he rode off. He jumped on my bike and rode off. But it's a black bike with Stixy with stickers all over it, and it's got like a owlet figure.
Where did this theft happen?
It happened in front of Nourish, the yoga studio, that one street. What's the street called?
This one?
Near Pacific, basically.
About what time?
Like 3 a.m.
You were sleeping?
Yeah, I was sleeping.
A lot of people sleeping, or just you alone?
Yeah, there was a lot of people out that night. It was like 2 nights ago. There's a lot of people out like all night.
Any hassles from police trying to break up the campsite?
I haven't dealt with any police, and I haven't really been doing big campsites recently. I did watch the news about the campsite now down by Ross and the two guys saving the people from the crashed car that got hit.
Never hearing about that.
Yeah, I watched the video on YouTube about it, and I'm actually kind of sad about some of the comments on there. People just still being derogatory towards two people that saved someone's life is kind of sad to see.
Well, they were homeless after all.
Yeah, they were homeless after all. So,
you want to give out some of these when you're leaving a zoo?
Yeah, I'll pass them out.
And I got some cards too, if you want. We've been talking with
Jeremiah Maxey.
Thanks, Jeremiah. Anything you want to add?
I go by G, and I don't know. We've only been really hassled by First Alarm one night. But he just told us to leave politely, but kind of gave us some shit. Kind of.
How long in town?
What do you mean?
You.
Well, I've been, it's been like 3 months or so, but I leave and come back.
It's a pretty good record.
You know, I'm taking care of things here on a medical note, and therapist and therapy and whatnot. I have my own issues, as we all do. So.
Well, may the rains be good to you.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. You as well, you as well.
Thank you, thank you. And do a quick report. And now here's the last Tom Paxton song of the afternoon. At least I think this is the last one.
Humankind has survived some disasters for sure, like locusts and flashes and flu. There's never a moment when we've been secure from the ills that the flesh is heir to. If it isn't a war, it's some gruesome disease. If it isn't disease, then it's war. But there's worse still to come, and I'm asking you please how the world's gonna take any more. In 10 years, we're gonna have 1 million lawyers, 1 million lawyers, 1 million lawyers. In 10 years, we're gonna have 1 million lawyers. How much can a poor nation stand? Everybody now. In 10 years, we're gonna have 1 million lawyers, 1 million lawyers, 1 million lawyers. In 10 years, we're gonna have 1 million lawyers. How much can a poor nation stand? The world shook with dread of Attila the Hun as he conquered with fire and steel. And Genghis and Kublai and all of the Khans ground a groaning world under the heel. Disaster, disaster, so what else is new? We suffered the worst and then some. So I'm sorry to tell you, my suffering friends, of the terrible scourge still to come. In 10 years, we're gonna have 1 million lawyers, 1 million lawyers, 1 million lawyers. In 10 years, we're gonna have 1 million lawyers. How much can a poor nation stand? Oh, a suffering world cries for mercy as far as the eye can see. Lawyers around every bend in the road, lawyers in every tree. Lawyers in restaurants, lawyers in clubs, lawyers behind every door. Behind windows and potted plants, shade trees and shrubs. Lawyers on pogo sticks, lawyers in politics. In 10 years, we're gonna have 1 million lawyers. How much can a poor nation stand? In spring, it's tornadoes and rampaging floods. In summer, it's a heat stroke and drought. There's Ivy League football to ruin the fall. It's a terrible scourge without doubt. There are blizzards to batter this shivering plain. There are dust storms that strike, but far worse is the threat of disaster to shrivel the brain. It's the threat of implacable curse. In 10 years, we're gonna have 1 million lawyers, 1 million lawyers, 1 million lawyers. In 10 years, we're gonna have 1 million lawyers. How much can a poor nation stand? How much can a poor nation stand?
And that's it for the topical current edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Now we're going to give you most of or much of a December 19th, 2013 show, which had in the studio former Homeless Lack of Services Center director Doug Loisel, who was essentially driven out of the position by charges of, that were eventually, I don't want to say they were disproved. I don't think he had... He was not convicted of anything, but he was accused of he described it as an entrapment set up with a young woman, an underage woman, an underage girl, if you will, in Los Angeles. And he was dismissed from the Homeless Lack of Services Center because of the scandal surrounding this. But when he was director, he was far more interested in making the place accessible and usable, that, and from my perspective, than previous director or the one that followed, Monica Martinez. So let's listen into this interview, and if you haven't already had enough. And remember, if you want to get in touch, if you want to be on the stream of free radio, if you have any comments about what you've heard, you can call me, and I will respond, 423-4833. Give me a day or two at least, and leave me a message if you don't catch me in person. Thanks for listening to this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. And remember, the issue that's really uppermost now is supporting the survival camps of people who are outside and restoring basic rights for those folks, whatever you may think of their habits. At least that's what I say. Thanks for listening.